Welcome, everybody, to the Super Sumo Brothers podcast. This episode, I'm here with Andrew, as always.
Hey, everyone.
And we are 9 days into the November Basho, which is usually held in Fukuoka, but is in Tokyo this year, with all the COVID business going on. But a lot to talk about. Where would you want to start, Andy? I could pick any day and any person, and I think it'd be pretty interesting.
It's been kind of all over the road. A lot of ups, lots of downs. I guess we could start with, so far, what's your most either disappointing or most surprising kind of results so far, or record perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, I think pre-Basho, I personally was super excited about the likes of Wakataka Kage and Tobizaru. And the two of them have been, Wakataka Kage, Wakataka Kage. When I think about it, I can't say it. He was Magashira 1, so obviously this was going to be a pretty big challenge for him overall. Clearly, like, the highest rank he's ever been, obviously. Coming up from, Juryo, but in July, he was Magashira 14, September, Magashira 8, and of course this month Magashira 1, losing to the likes of Takakesho, Shodai, Takeyumi, Takeyasu, guys who are definitely seasoned vets up there. So it's no real surprise to me that he lost those. He did have one walkover win against Asunayama, which we can jump into the Ozeki bit in a bit here, but yeah. Of course, there are spoilers in this episode. And with Tobizaru, he also was at Magashira 4 and is losing again to the likes of some of the upper-ranked guys who've been there for a while. So I think it's not a surprise, really, but it was kind of disappointing for me.
Yeah, I think I had my most disappointing was just the Magashira 1 rank as a whole. Because Kiribayama in the East was 1-8. Like as mentioned, it's day 9, so 1-8 so far with Kiribayama. And then, Wakataka Kage is 2-7. A mediocre 3-15 between the two of them at Magashira 1. I didn't think they would be as bad as they performed. I figured they'd hang a little bit. That's pretty tough for that rank as a whole. And my other kind of disappointing thing is, I think we talked about this back in July, was Onosho's record. When he gets up in Magashira 1, 2, 3, like, he, for some reason, he performs pretty poorly, and so far as reflected in this tournament, he's 3-6. As compared to last tournament where he was on the leaderboard heading into at least day 13 or 14 last year, last tournament. And he took 2 losses, but he was 10-5 last tournament and then 2-13 the tournament before. So it's just that back and forth that Onosho goes through. So those are my 2 real disappointments. And I suppose my my most surprising result, which is also very negative, is NO.
NO.
He's currently 1-8. And the only reason he has a win is because he threw a Hanka on day 9.
Against Kaisei, I believe.
Yeah, and it's...
And it was... It's... I think I was going to bring this up, too. I think this is the last time we're going to see Enho in the upper ranks. He's been Hankaing nonstop, so I think there's something going on there where he's been figured out, it feels like.
Yeah, because I think before he was like quick and going low, and I think a lot of people have changed their status. So he Hankered Oyama on day 9.
Oh, that's who it was.
Yeah, Kaisei, he did that frog jump overwards where he a lot like where the Hanka was, you could see what he was trying to do, but it looked borderline Hanka. But like different replays and angles show that he was like you know, trying to jump over him to get the Mawashi, and it just didn't work. And it was like he was playing leapfrog. And I don't know if that's just desperation at this point, where it's like, I'm just going to try and jump this guy and hope that I get him off balance or he reacts weird and I can just get a win.
Just doesn't look good at all. Like, he hasn't looked good since the start, in my opinion.
No, yeah. I mean, we're going 0-8, and like I said, the only reason he has a win on day 9 is a Hanka. And by the time this gets posted, day 10 results will have already happened. But so who knows? Maybe he gets another win. Maybe he pulls another Hanka.
I just don't think you're going to see him up in this rank on the Mucci anymore.
Yeah, on the NHK English commentary, Murray was saying that if Enho can pull out 5 wins, you could see him sitting at like 16 or 17, but he needs at least 5 in order to stay up there.
But even still, like, even if he does manage to get, I just don't think he's, I feel like he's gone already into like a weird panic style of wrestling. Mm-hmm. And this was actually something I was going to touch on with Waka Takakage and Tobizaru, is like, where and Enho is more of a, like, he's like trying to get creative and it's just like trying too hard. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like doing the leapfrog thing and like trying to be all crazy, like he's like some, you know, luchador wrestler in like WCW or something. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But like Waka Takakage and Tobizaru seem to be going with this like randomly flailing their arms and trying to slap and like jump around and be all like a Mexican jumping bean in the ring, and it's weird. It's like, it doesn't seem as composed as they were. It's like they're almost trying too hard because they're in the upper ranks.
That's what I was thinking. I was about to say, maybe it's like, this is so cliche because this is always what happens when there's a big victory, where it's like they go out there and they do their best sumo. Like, that's what they always say. It's like, I'm just trying to do my best. Like, maybe that's all Waka Takakage and you know, Kiribayama and Tobizaru need to do. Just do what you guys do best.
Yeah,
and they don't think about who you're facing.
Yeah, it seems like they're trying to force it. It just doesn't, because, like, I mean, I feel like Mataki Yumi, for example, is in a position now where you can beat Mataki Yumi. You know what I mean? He's not very strong in terms of like his own self-confidence right now, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, he's sitting on the leaderboard, but once again, I mean, the leaderboard's so wide open right now.
Right, and Mataki Yumi didn't look good. He's doing his like peaks and valleys kind of thing too, where like his wins, they look pretty good, but his losses look real bad. Like, his losses just might as well have been walkovers in some cases. I think his Daisho fight was pretty good, but it's weird. I just feel like, again, sumo, we always talk about this, is like one of the more mental sports in the world. I feel like it's a huge head game. If you're inside your own head, it shows when you fight.
Yeah, I wonder if a lot of what could be going on with Enho is the fact that Hakuho is not there. So Enho is representing his stable. Because between him, so it was Hakuho, Enho, and Ishiura, who's battling at the top of Juryo right now, they're all in the same stable. So right now for Enho, like, this is his stable, essentially, because Hakuho is not there. So I don't know if that's also added pressure, where it's like, oh man, I'm the most senior person right now fighting and I need to perform well. I don't know. I think we mentioned this on the Blind Banzuke, but there were reports that he was having something was in his head and he had cleared his head.
Yeah.
I mean, he's 1-8 right now. You know, he's already got his Makikoshi. He's getting demoted. We know that for sure. Mm-hmm. But I mean, for a guy who had all the hype coming up, and a lot of the channels that we watched, like, everyone's like, oh, keep an eye on Enho. He's climbing the ranks, and he climbed. Like,
I really like him too. Like, I think he's a really good wrestler. I just think, and you know, obviously it takes a huge amount of, lack of a better term, balls to jump in a ring with guys who are 3 times your size, you know what I mean, in terms of weight alone, don't even count the height.
Yeah.
And he gets, oh man, when he falls back sometimes and gets like rolled up like an accordion, it freaks me out.
That's exactly the word that I was thinking of, the way he falls backwards.
Oh man,
it's like he like rolls on his neck, where I'm like, how does he, like, how is he not getting hurt more often.
Yeah, like his like knees buckle under him all the time and stuff. Like, oh god, and he's got, you know, 300-400 pound guys falling on him.
Yeah, and we've definitely referred to him as like an accordion. Like the way he just gets shrunk up, and then like it's sometimes you look at him, it's like, how did you not tear an ACL? How did you not get a concussion? Like, you know, concussion protocol. Like, it just seems to be. Yeah, I don't know. He's big surprise for me.
Yeah, so some guys, I think, and again, we're a little partial to the Sakagatake stable.
Yeah, Sakagatake.
It's Koto Nowaka and Koto Echo, actually. I know Koto Echo's record isn't sparkling, but his fights have been really good. He's going in there with a game plan as opposed to what I feel like Wakataka Kage and Tobizaro are doing. He knows what he wants to do, and he's gonna, you know, he does his best to execute that, and win or lose, he's fighting through it. Mm-hmm. And obviously, Koto Nowaka, being as young as he is doing pretty well.
He's bouncing back from Juryo. I'm nervous because I want him to stay where, like, I want him to continue to fight well, but he's also, him and both Koto Eiko both have 5-4 records right now. Mm-hmm. And I want them to both stay up in the division, especially Koto Nowaka being as young as he is and being like the stable master's son and stuff. There's a lot of pressure on him as well to perform well. But yeah. I want him to climb back up and perform well.
I agree. And like I think he'll end I don't really feel like there's a big rush for him either. You know, he's still a pretty young guy.
Absolutely not, yeah.
And he's got plenty of time to keep plugging away at that upper rank. But since we're on the topic of the Koto clan, as it were, we got word that our friend Koto Shikiku has announced his retirement.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I think he probably would have preferred to try and perform well to at least. It's funny because we talked about this, and I think we've been talking about this for a while, where you could see the records. There was some struggle, and he still fought because that's just the kind of guy that he is. As we know, we've discussed with him that, you know, he likes to keep fighting, and that's what he enjoyed doing. But we kind of talked about, like, if the world was normal, you know, without COVID, this would have been the last hurrah for him. He would have went back to Fukuoka, would have been his hometown. He would have been able to retire here. Everything was lining up for that, but with COVID and everything, it was in Tokyo. But yeah, he was 1-6 when he pulled out. The only person he ended up beating was Shohozan, who's also borderline retirement age as well. It was tough. I think when I saw the report, it was like late Friday night here, early Saturday morning in Japan. And it was like, not necessarily like a kick in the chest, but it was like an era is over. Because he was the big reason, like, we got into sumo was, like, his, you know, they call it it's Koto Bauer. It's actually after an ice skater when he does the backstretch. but we always refer to it because the Ultimate Warriors, I think, did that in WWF way back in the day. I think they did, like, that kind of chest.
Yeah, Ultimate Warrior was known for that kind of thing, yeah.
For us, that was, like, for me, that was the big draw.
Hogan did that, really. Hogan was doing the ripping the shirt thing, and, yeah, that's true.
It was just so different.
It was very like American, I guess, for lack of a better term. I think it was just like I can equate that to something that I know. This makes the sport interesting, you know. Mm-hmm. So, it was easy for me to pick up on that. But yeah, I felt the same way too when I found out. I was just like, oh, like I knew it was coming at some point, but you know, having met him and you know, like, spoken with him and he's just like a genuinely good dude. So it was kind of, I don't know, again, we're not like best friends, weren't meeting him with him every day, but like, you know, we knew him and we had like I would definitely say it's a friendship with him, and it was just kind of sad to see. It's like, I don't know, it's like if you played hockey your entire life and then, you know, all of a sudden you have to stop, like I just feel bad that you can't do something that you love anymore.
Correct. I mean, the good thing is he already has an elder name, so going forward, he'll be Hiden no Yama. So that'll be his elder name going forward. He plans on being a coach and things like that. And that's what I was hoping for, is that he would do that, because I think he has a lot to give in the way he, and a lot of, I love, there's been a lot of love and respect out and outpour for him. Like, so, you know, these articles written about him and what he meant to, you know, breaking down the Mongolian Wall, and, you know, like that 10-year drought where a Japanese-born Rikishi hadn't won, and he was able to, you know, just get over that hump that no one else had been able to.
Yeah, and that episode is coming when we revisit that Basho, because that was, that was so awesome. He was like so in the zone. That was,
and yeah, we stayed up late both of, like, the last, like,
last two nights.
Yeah, two or three days.
Last three. Yeah.
It was like, it was like 3 a.m. here or something like that. And we're like, you know, nope, we're going to sleep during the day and stay up all night to make sure that we can watch them. And, like, we purchased the videos. And because at the time there was a service to do that. And, but yeah, no, we'll definitely touch base. But yeah, I'm excited to see what he does next. So I think he'll be doing some, like, TV work right now with, like, Casino Sato and Tochi Ozan and Guido. So he'll
Cool. That'll be cool. That'll be the Ozeki crew doing some doing some TV.
Well, Tochi Ozan, I don't think, made Ozeki, but the other three,
right
but they're familiar with each other. They've been wrestling along, like, all four of them for a while. So it'll be cool. I just wish I wish there was someone who could translate those episodes, because I've seen the other three do episodes before. Like, it's on YouTube. There's a I think it's like Sumo, I forget what sumo company, I follow that post links for it, but they're on there and they're talking. I'm like, that looks cool. I wish someone would translate it so that I can enjoy it even more. But yeah, that'll be the story. That'll be the thing to keep an eye on.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, we haven't even really talked about some of, like, the bigger news, I guess. I mean, obviously Kota retiring is a big deal for us, but no Kakaru and no Hakuho in this tournament, two in a row now.
Yep. And we're getting, someone refers to it as Nokozuna. Very familiar with the Nozeki as well. So I think that's sumo follower who might refer to him as them. I could be wrong. But in the community, it's Nokozuna and Nozeki. With Kakaru, I could see a forced retirement coming soon.
Yeah.
Hakuho almost feels impossible to touch. But
there has been whispers about it, I feel like.
Yeah, I know his goal is to still, given, let's say, in the perfect world, then there's no COVID, and the Olympics happens, is Hakuho close to retirement? Probably, because he wants to be that representative. And I think I think it was his trainer who came out before the Basho and pretty much said that, like, he needs to perform well in January or else. And then the next day he went back to the media and said, oh, no, I didn't mean to say that. So there was some speculation that, and I think Chris Sumo, who's on YouTube, might have been the one who mentioned this, that, you know, maybe it was like one of the senior, like the elders in the Sumo Association, who was like, no, Hakuho sells. He fills.
We're not,
you know, you can't go out there and make these kind of ultimatums, even though it is your trainer and this guy knows Hakuho more than anybody. So I don't know, maybe he just didn't talk to the right people before he made that statement.
I can't imagine. Yeah, that's just like saying, you know, like, we know
Tom Brady.
Yeah, like, Tom Brady's not going to play on our team. Yeah. Then you're like, wait, why would you do that? Or like, Wayne Gretzky's not playing on this hockey team. You know, like, you're not gonna say that.
No, if they can still sell, if they can still get bodies in the seats, if they can still
perform, especially right now, yeah, you need them coming from wherever you can.
Yeah, and we mentioned this last episode. Is like, Hakuho, I want him to stay in tournaments so he can play spoiler. If nothing else, like, I want him not to, like, pull out after a loss or two losses. I want him to stay in there and just play spoiler if he's not going to win. Mm. It would make things so much more interesting. Going to day 14 or 15, it's like, these guys have to face Hakuho if they're. And this will kind of get down to, like, when we're talking about another Margashira 17 who could possibly win for the third time this year. But, like, let's say Shima Naomi was, you know, he's going in the day 14, he's got a 13-1 record, and he's got Hakuho.
Yeah.
Like, you can play spoiler.
Again, a 50% Hakuho is better than 90% of that, that Bonsuke right now. You know, I'd still put Hakuho up against, Terunofuji is probably the only one that I would be like, probably going Terunofuji right now, just with the way he's fighting. Although he has
back-to-back losses.
But he was in the zone for those first six wins. 7 wins.
First 7.
He was doing old Terunofuji, pick you up, put you down outside the ring, toss you, throw you down. He was very, he owned that ring until his first loss there. He looked a little shaken up.
Yeah, and I wonder if he hadn't had, you know, the knee issues, and then there was the diabetes as well, what he would have been, because he pretty much lost like almost 3 years of wrestling and, you know, what could have been.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. So, yeah, he's 7-2 right now through 9 days.
Back-to-back losses. He lost to Daisho and Takeyasu. And he's got Tobi Zaru tomorrow, which he should win.
Yep.
Depending on how Tobi Zaru comes out and wrestles.
I mean, Tobi Zaru did play spoiler against Takakesho, which
he did. Yeah.
It's funny to think that just taking one loss, how it can completely open the field. Because I'm even looking at people who have 4 losses. I'm like, you're not really out of it yet.
Yeah. Takakesho has looked great too. I'll just throw that in there really quick. He has looked in command of that ring and just
wasn't. Even in the loss, day. he still looked good.
Yeah. Takakesho is the more I'm watching him, the more I feel like he's the real deal. Like
I hope so, because we're heading into an age of no Yokozuna, but I still don't know if he's Yokozuna. He needs to win this tournament for me to even consider thinking about
it. He's been Ozeki since last November. Like
he's got a full year under his belt now.
Yeah, yeah, and he's looking good. He came out and commanded that ring the whole time. Like Kasuto Sato levels of dominance, I feel like. So he's looking good. Obviously he's had a few down tournaments in March and July, but it's a weird time. But I'm the more I'm watching him fight, the more I like it. He's very especially again comparing him to guys like Wakatagi Kagai or Tobi Zaru, I'm starting to appreciate this. Like, he's got a really good just classical like sumo ring presence, I guess. Like, he's very technical, he's technically sound. And it's kind of like, again, I'll make a hockey reference here. Like, some goaltenders, you know, will jump around and they'll make the saves, but it looks ugly. Like, he is very much like, he's square to the net. He's coming out. His angles are all right. Like, he knows exactly what he wants to do. I think Hakuho is not that kind of wrestler, but like, Hakuho has the ability to like transition between that and being like a Wakatagi Kagai sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like, if he needs to go off the rails, he can.
And but he knows he like still has a game plan when he's off the rail, which is so weird to think that like, this isn't your plan. Okay, well, I'm going to come up with a new plan on the fly and be able to overcome that.
But yeah, Takakesho is very, I don't know, I feel like he's very technically sound. He's like what you would expect a sumo wrestler to be.
Yeah, and that's why it's like, if he had a chance to win last tournament, once again, I think he was one of the few that were heading into the last couple of days. Day 13, he took a loss and it was like, yep, off leaderboard. And you know, he ended up coming in second. It was the fourth time he's come in second, but it's still not Yokozuna conversation yet.
No, not yet. No, he needs to win this tournament and maybe like another one, not necessarily the next one, but the one after.
Yeah, I think if you can win. Because I think the reason Kasino Sato, I think he got in with one Ozeki victory. But that's because he'd been so dominant for so long that they were like, the only thing you need to do is win a Yusho. Just win a Yusho.
Although the fact that there are no, theoretically, potentially, if there are no Yokozuna, I wonder if that ups his chances. You know,
it could, where they're like, hey, you know, we're going to put you in just because, but and just the Yokozuna expectation is so high.
Yeah, I almost don't even, I don't know if I as a wrestler would want it at this point. You know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of dicey.
I suppose if it guarantees you that rank for the rest of the time that you're wrestling, like that's the big thing, is you can never get demoted lower than Yokozuna. So, you know, if he performs poorly, I mean, he's guaranteed that salary.
Yeah, yeah.
It's as easy as that.
Yeah, that's yeah, obviously the upside there.
So, yeah, if they force him in there and it's like, yeah, sure.
And all the accolades that come with it, too. Like, I mean, just like any other sport, you know, like you're in commercials now and you're like...
Yeah, you'll be the face of sumo.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's definitely money to be had there with that. And and allure and fame, and you're stable and, like, well, you know, you've had a Yokozuna in it, and yeah, there's a lot that goes with it. But yeah, I think he's kind of like what you would expect to see in a Yokozuna, though, again, being very technical.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of like, I don't know, he just looks right in there. He doesn't flail, he doesn't really panic. He doesn't get into like these crazy like twisting around matches like some people do. I mean, he does obviously from time to time, but
yeah, not as frequent as we see others.
Yeah, he seems in control. So yeah.
I'd like to see a new Yokozuna too, because we saw Casino Sato in there, but he had such a short stint there that I almost forget that he was in there, because he was in there maybe for one healthy tournament, because he won the Ozeki tournament and then won as a Yokozuna the next tournament, and then after that it was pretty much over.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in our time watching, it's only been Haku Kakaru, Haruma Fuji, Casino Sato.
Yeah.
And it's been like 6 years for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Takara Fuji's looked good too. He's also another one who's pretty technical, I feel like, in terms of, you know, his positioning and how you would expect someone to fight in the ring. He's not had much success, but he's having a pretty good tournament this time.
Yeah. He's on leaderboard right now. He's tied for first. He's also tied with, obviously, Taka Keisho, who's 8-1, Takara Fuji, and then Shima Naomi, which we'll get into in a little bit.
Mm.
Yeah, Takara Fuji's looked good. It's either Takara or I think it's Takara Fuji.
Takara Fuji.
potato, potato, almost the same thing. It's, yeah. He's looked good. I don't know if he'll sustain this, though, and I'll probably eat my words once again. but yeah, his record hasn't reflected, you know, 9-6, 5-10, 7-8 in the last three.
Yeah, he's typical. Yeah, has been middle of the pack Magashira since last November. So
yeah, and this is by far the fastest that he's ever gone is Kachikoshi. And we'll see. And like I said, like even if people are sitting at four wins, you're probably not out of it quite yet. Just because like I can see. Like,
all the people with one or two, like...
I can see them taking another loss.
Exactly, yeah. Like, Taruna Fuji, the way he's fighting, he could definitely take another loss.
Or he gets one more win and pulls out.
Yeah.
I can see that
happening, too, yeah.
Because he'll do the same thing, because he was Magashira 1 when he was 8. Was he 8-5-2, I think? 8, is that if that math works. Last tournament, and he got a promotion up. So if he's not like, I don't want to waste what's in the tank, maybe he just gets his 8 wins, he pulls out, he gets promoted up one rank, and then he gives it his all to try to get back into Ozeki, even though that won't be enough. Probably, yeah, I don't know what he'll do.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if because he was, I think he was being a little limpy.
Yeah, he was ginger the last two fights.
Yeah. So I'm sure whatever it is. I mean, his knees are bandaged up like mummies, similar to Tochi Noshin's. But I wouldn't be surprised if he pulled out after getting 8 wins. I think depending on how he fights in day 10 will dictate that.
Yeah, because he's got, what does he have on day 10? Tobi Zaru. Yeah.
Yeah. So
he should beat him. He should get his 8th win. He should get his Kachikoshi, and
yeah,
we'll see what he does after that.
Let's see. Who else did I want to?
I mean, I guess the obvious thing is also the two other Ozeki pulling out.
Yeah.
Which your hot take? Because I went back and had to look at our hot takes to see what they were. I don't know if I fully declared one. I just had, you know, someone in the Senyaku would win. You had your boy Asano Yama.
Yeah. And he made it 3 days.
I believe 3 days, and then pulled out.
That's unfortunate, and that was, I didn't expect that. I saw the fight that and then realized afterwards, I was like, oh yeah, he's not gonna keep going.
Yeah, but and then Shodai is very unfortunate too.
Yeah, Shodai was on a tear too. I feel like he was doing pretty well.
Yeah, and his ankle, the way it came down, it looked funky, and being a new Ozeki. Your first tournament is going to be so he'll be Karuban next tournament.
You know, Daisho spoiled a lot of people here. So Daisho beat
once again on the leaderboard too, 6-3. He can easily
Daisho gave Shodai as well, didn't give it as intentionally, it makes it sound intentional, but Shodai was in the fight where Shodai fought Daisho, and Daisho, that was the one he got injured in.
Mm-hmm.
Daisho also...
Terunofuji?
Yeah, he beat Terunofuji.
Takeomi?
Yep, he's beaten a lot of upper-ranked guys. Been playing pretty big spoiler, actually, this tournament. Shodai, Takeomi, Takanosho, excuse me. Terunofuji is another big one. So, yeah, it's if nothing else, he's having a great tournament for spoiler.
Yeah, and Daisho is sitting at 6-3. Some other guys that are in the same group, Takeomi, Endo, who I think has been good. But once again, it's one of those guys where he's up in the topper, like the top like 7 or 8 ranks, doesn't perform all that great, gets down to like the lower single digits, double digits, performs well.
Yeah, peaks and valleys again with
Endo. Endo is 6-3. Then you have Chiyotaru, who's also at 6-3. You have 4 losses. You're not really out of it. The 4 loss group is pretty crowded as well. And once again, this is day 9, so who knows what happens on day 10. But like Takayasu, a guy who hasn't won a Yusho. Casino Sato was a senior. Lots of expectations for him. He's at 4 losses. You know, Okinonomi, Kota Shoho's in there.
Hokuto Fuji looked pretty good in the first 4 days. Even in his losses in the last 4, I feel like he's been – he won on day 9, but the 4 matches before that, he lost in a row. He ran into Terunofuji and Takeomi when he was looking really good. So,
yeah, you'll hit that brick wall, I think, eventually. You'll hit some of the tougher guys. But, yeah, I mean, you're at 4, you have a chance because, like we said, we can see some of those guys up there taking a loss, and then all of a sudden, like, 11-4 gets you a victory.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as you hit, I think, I don't know if I've ever seen it. I might've seen 1 10-5, but I'd have to look back to see if a 10-5's won recently.
I don't think it's been very recently, but
no, usually it's like 3 or 4 losses is going to get you a championship, but yeah, we'll see what happens with the rest of these guys. But like Shimanomi, 8-1 could be a third Makashira 17 who could win it after, was it like 35 years or something like that? You know, Makashira 17 hadn't won.
It's a long time.
We had Terunofuji last tournament, obviously, or 2 tournaments ago, was Magashira 17. And then in January, it was Tokushoru, who was your Magashira 17 at the time, who won. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe you get a third Magashira 17 who wins.
Yeah, might as well add weirdness to this year, I suppose.
If nothing else. Yeah, let's throw another wrench in there and see what happens. You have another 7 market share 17 guy win.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I don't know. I just think the upper rank, the Senyaku ranks, are going to be so volatile, especially if Hakuho and Kakaru keep pulling out.
Mm-hmm.
It's anyone's. And then now we have the 2 Ozekis getting hurt. It's, I don't know, man. It's an uncertain time in sumo, I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, these will be our Ozekis at least for the next probably 3 tournaments or so, because no one's really put together 10 wins. I mean, Terunofuji could get 10s, and then, you know, he would need 10 and 8, and then he'd have to get, like, 14 wins in January. But, I don't think anyone realistically has a chance to get up to Ozeki, so this is probably what we're looking at for the time being. Like, I want to say Takeomi, but he's just so inconsistent. I think his record last tournament pretty much deflated his chances of getting up to Ozeki, because he was 10-5, 11-4, and then 8-7. So once again, he'd have to get 13 wins. So actually, he can't even get that many at this point.
So I see here in your notes, I haven't heard about this, but Akua telling wrestlers to calm down from Chris Sumo. I didn't know what that was about. I'm curious.
So it wasn't Akua that actually, or yeah, Akua. That's a new name for us. We'll get it right. No, I think the judges had to. So Chris Sumo does on YouTube is, I don't know if he like works there or if he just has like insider access, but A lot of his footage comes from like the top balcony, and he records a lot of the matches, and he gives a lot of like details, and a lot of his videos are like what you didn't see or what you didn't know. And he lives in Japan, you know, like I said, he's at the Kokugikan and all that. But I think he had mentioned that during one of the fights, like the judge had to tell one of the, and I think it was, I forget who was in the fight, it was Akua and I think one other, to like relax, because it was like a couple like false starts, and they were like getting frustrated. Gotcha. I think. So he had to like tell them to calm down. That's not, he was like, wasn't visually, but you can tell, I guess, when people's getting antsy, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, so I found that fascinating, and like I think there's been a lot of cool things that have happened this name, like this turn, like a lot of cool names that are coming up. I'd be interested in seeing, and like there's some historical plot. Like we got Naya, N-A-Y-A, who is currently sitting at Makushita. We're going really low with this because we barely cover Juryo.
Yeah.
but with Kotoshukiku being in Juryo, I had a chance to watch a little bit more Juryo matches this tournament. And Naya is actually the grandson of Taho, who has the second most wins overall behind Hakuo.
Interesting.
So we got some historical guys coming up right now, some ancestral expectations. And apparently Naya is friends with Koto Shoho, or not, Koto Nowaka, and one other wrestler too. I don't know if they came out of the same like high school or if they came out of the same like university or whatnot. But he kind of got left behind while the other two excelled, and I forget who the other one was. But yeah, Chris Newell gives a lot of those like background details that may not get covered on, you know, NHK.
Is it just YouTube? Is it just / Chris Sumo?
Just Chris Sumo. I can give the exact.
I want to subscribe.
Yeah, and live subscription happening right now. Yeah, he gives a lot of background information. If you just search Chris Sumo, it should come up.
Gotcha.
Yeah. They don't have like a Twitter, like a handle, like
it's not like /
like, and... yeah, exactly, like Twitch or Twitter or anything like that.
Cool. Yeah, I'll subscribe to that. Yeah.
But yeah, so a lot of his videos are very short. They're like, you know, 7 minutes. So if you're like having your breakfast and you want to catch up on some facts about sumo, he'll like cover a handful of things that are just interesting, things you may not see, different angles that from fights. But yeah, he's a good resource too for just like tidbits of information without having to sit down too long to get it.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. I'll have to check a few of those out.
Yeah, it's where I get a lot of my the facts that are happening here, which is good because we don't get the coverage in the United States, and he does a great, great job at doing it, like just getting information. And he also translates articles cleanly too. Cool. So I think sometimes when we get translations, they're like the broken English version of them because they're being translated over, but he does a great job at like getting what the concept of the message was without changing what the subject is.
Gotcha. Awesome.
Yeah, check them out.
Yeah. Yeah, is there anybody? I was just kind of looking through Juryo here a little bit, because you know I like to go to trips down memory lane, check on some of the guys that were familiar.
I mean, 21 of the 30 guys down there are guys that have been up in the top division. So I think there's 20. Yeah, like they have 30 guys, and 21 of them we know, or something like that. It's something like some insane number. Yeah, 21 out of 28, I think, is what the number is. I had it. I lost the note.
Still got Ikioi down there. He's not doing well at 2-7.
No, yeah, and this could be another, you know, over-under segment. What are the chances of another retirement? Because Shohozan's also 36. Ikioi's 36. Kotoshukiku was 36 when he retired, obviously. Mm. You know, Shohozan has his Makikoshi. He's 1-8. Ikioi looks like he's probably going to get it on day 10.
Yeah, Shohozan is going to be my guess.
Yeah, I could see Shohozan.
I mean, he's Juryo too, so, I mean...
There's a chance.
I could see him maybe doing one more stint in Juryo. But.
Yeah, and Ikioi has Fujiya Zuma, who's 0-9 currently. So, maybe the gets a couple wins. He's only got 7 losses, but he's got to win the rest of it and not lose more than one. Or he can't lose any. He has to run the gambit on the rest of his.
Yeah. I know we're lucky enough to have already met one sumo wrestler, but I feel like Ikioi is a guy I would totally want to hang out with. Like,
oh yeah,
I'm just looking at his profile on sumo.or.jp, and his I forget the name of the apron, I'll call it. It's not an apron.
I know what you're talking about.
I can't think of the name, but it's awesome. It's like a cat with some kid and the cat's tongue's out. I don't know. It's amazing. Like,
it's interesting to look at this because I'm looking at the sumo DB mm-hmm. picture of him, and this one has like a kid who's in the water, and like it's interesting to see when things transitioned into a different. I hate that I don't know the name of that right now. It's leaving me.
it's killing me. I feel really dumb.
You know, as soon as we finish this, we'll remember. Be like, yep, can't believe we forgot it was named that.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's some sort of anime character. I don't know. I'm not sure, but yeah. I don't know. It's cool. He just seems like a cool dude who doesn't take mm-hmm. himself too seriously, and like, I don't know. He was always one of those guys when he was in the upper ranks. Like, if somebody got pushed out too far or was having trouble getting up, you try to help him up, like that kind of thing.
Yeah. And he was a great name to, like, when we were in Fukuoka, yelling Ikioi, and
yeah,
like a lot of people. He's a good name to yell.
Yeah, a lot of people liked him.
Yeah.
So I don't know, and he's always smiling. I don't know. It just seems like a good dude. I'll stop fangirling over him right now, but it's.
he would definitely be another one I'd enjoy meeting.
I think we can call it on this one. I mean, I would do some sort of a hot take here, but I don't really know, honestly, now that we've talked it over.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of
it could unknown. Be anybody, really. It's at this point, I suppose. I mean, I think Takayumi gets 10 wins.
Yeah, I mean, I mean it's realistic. I think it should be at least at Sekiwake, like you should get 10 wins. You know, at least get your Kachikoshi, get your 8 wins, you know, be happy with that. Great. But you gotta do better than that.
Maybe Takakesho wins the Yusho. It's like the only other one I could think of.
It would make things interesting. Like having him win, and then it's like you kind of start that Yokozuna consideration, but he's only been in Ozeki for a year.
Yeah.
So that's something else that they could look into. Well, he was in Ozeki technically back in May of 2019. So, I mean, he's had like 7 or 8 tournaments in the last 9. He's had one tournament in the last like year and a half where he was in Ozeki. So, yeah, I don't know. Takakesho winning. Obviously, I want the Sadagatake guys to do well.
Yuden's kind of under the radar too.
He's.
I hear him come up a lot, but he.
He's been inconsistent too. He's been one of those guys. He's doing something weird now. I don't know if you've got a chance to watch all of his matches, but I think it was like day, and I have a note. Was it day 3? He started doing like a bounce with his hip kind of thing. Like he's almost like shaking his butt.
like, was this before the Tachi High?
Yeah, I'll send you the video afterwards. Because I think it's Sumo Follower who put it together on Twitter. He asked someone to put a gift together of it. I'll give it to you afterwards. But like, it's like before the Tachi High. It's something where it's almost like borderline. Well, it's not. It's like when they're in the ring about to like touch knuckles.
Yeah,
he's like doing this like butt shake kind of. Like, and it's like throwing people off balance too, because it's like he's moving his whole body. It's almost like if you were a football player and you were about to do like almost like a false start, like that's how much he's moving.
Interesting.
Where it's like, oh, this is different. We'll see if it pays off. And he was 1-2. He was 1-1. Let me check. Yeah, he was 2-1 and then started doing it. He won 5 and then lost 1. It's so weird. I've never seen someone like so mobile before a match. He's sitting at 7-2 leaderboard guy as well, but once again I don't know if he'll actually stick around.
I mean, in the future too, like just like we're gonna wrap up, we'll do a end of basho episode like we always do, but think after that, we're going to try to add some interesting segments, maybe some, spotlights on a few of the up and coming sumo, because, we're living in the past a little bit here. Starting to lose some of the names we're familiar with. So
yeah. And it would be interesting because a lot of these guys could come up through and they have the amateur tournament coming up in 3 weeks as well, where, you win the tournament and you instantly start at Makushita 15. So you just start middle of the pack. You don't have to go through Joni Don and Sadan May. You start at the third division winning this amateur tournament. Yeah. Our spotlight could be the guy who wins that tournament. And maybe he's the guy we watch and see who else has won that tournament in the past and how successful they've been.
Yeah.
I think doing segments would be cool. Same with spotlight doing,
It would be cool to get some of the moves down to something I've always wanted to, Yurikiri and a few of the others. And
there was one you should check out too. It was, and I'll get to the video afterwards, Kota Nowaka. It might be harder to find because he's a lower ranked guy. NHK might have this highlight. But I think it was Kota Nowaka who had it. Let me see. Let me just double check the fight. But he ends up driving the opponent's head straight down into the ring. Ooh. And it was a name I hadn't seen before for Kamarate. So, I guess I didn't note it. But it was either Kota Nowaka or Kota Nosha or Kota Shoho because it was one of the Sadakutake guys. And
yeah,
I was like, ooh, that looked unpleasant.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think that would be cool because there's hundreds of moves, I believe. There's a ton. So
yeah, and we could even pull up statistics on it and see how frequently these things happen I love crunching numbers. So
spreadsheet or two. So we'll be adding a bit more depth to the episodes, I think.
Yeah, depth structure.
We'll try to do that in the next spa show. But yeah, I think for now can wrap this one up, and then we'll do our usual end of the boss show summary, and kind of go from there. I'll try to get some. Been talking about it for a while, but try to get some middle episodes in during the off season.
Yeah, no, I think, and especially with Kota Shigeki's retirement, that'll be one of the episodes that are probably coming out soon.
Yeah, for sure. I'd like to reminisce on that a little bit.
Yeah, it's coming up on the 2-year anniversary of us. 2 years.
2 years.
2 years. Yeah, can't believe it's already been 2 years since we met him.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, time flies. But yeah, so it'd be 2 years in February. So we're a couple months away still. But
yeah. All right. Well, that's it for this episode. And thanks for listening.
Yeah. Check us out on SuperSumoBrothers.com and at SuperSumoBros on Twitter. Take it easy.